are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Happy Timberwolves game day. Today, we're going to hit on a few distinctly different topics. We're going to start with general Wolves and NBA news. We'll talk about the league's reaction or the latest reaction to the coronavirus and what they are planning to do this week, at least. And then we will discuss a few Wolves-specific notes, including Karl Anthony Towns' health, some quick hits from around the Wolves beat as well. Then we're going to preview tonight's Wolves-Rockets tilt, which is the fourth and final matchup between the two teams this season. And finally, we'll get into the NBA draft. We're going to officially start the prospect conversation here at Locked On Wolves. I know it feels early, given that we're almost mid-March, but I guess March Madness is later this month. Prospects are going to start to be talked about a lot more, and with the obviously the NCAA tournament coming up here very shortly, that's there's quite a bit more to pay attention to on the college landscape. And also, the Wolves are solidly out of the playoff picture at this point, so that means that we need to start talking about it. So we're going to start by talking through a Locked On NBA host consensus ranking of the top 14 prospects in June's draft, and we will roll that initial list out with a quick segment that features a special guest and draft expert in our final segment of today's show. So that will be that will round out the episode today. But first, a quick reminder to please subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts, and follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. Okay, shifting gears to a far more serious topic, I wanted to at least acknowledge where the league currently stands on the coronavirus in case you somehow missed the news that came down. I guess it was really just late Monday, recording this early on Tuesday, so I guess it makes a lot of sense to talk about it. So the NBA has announced, along with the other major sports leagues, the MLB, the NHL, and the MLS, that media will not be allowed in the locker room for the near future. And the basically just that media will have a separate space outside the locker room where they're going to be able to meet with players, and that there won't be a locker room availability. There's also a piece of it where teams have been instructed to create a 6 to 8 foot distance between players and media members during interviews outside locker rooms. And it's pretty detailed and thorough, and also really intriguing that the NBA, NHL, MLB and MLS have all announced this together. Obviously, the NFL is not in season, so they're not having to be part of this. And then late after that happened, the Professional Basketball Writers Association said that it would temporarily comply with the ban and move forward in agreement with the NBA on that. So a crazy development, and I believe pretty much unprecedented as far as I know of. Crazy. I mean, just a crazy development. It seems to be smart for the NBA to do this. It also seems like, and this is just a little bit of speculation here, that this may start a movement towards more overall caution in arenas, depending on how things develop over the next few days. I don't know that there's any reason to think that the coronavirus is going to slow down necessarily, but obviously it's not. The NBA is still allowing people in the arenas. And so there's been some conversation out there about the possibility of having teams play in arenas with only essential personnel and with no fans. I would imagine essential personnel is going to include TV crews, and games will still be on TV and we'll still be able to talk about them here at Locked On Wolves. But that's certainly something to keep an eye on. Also, the other news that's out there related to this is that the NBA is hosting a conference call on Wednesday afternoon. Again, this is Tuesday morning. We're recording this. And they've asked teams to have basically contingency plans for a variety of scenarios. And the league will host this conference call Wednesday afternoon, in which everybody's going to discuss what the next steps are. And who knows if we'll get more clarity after that. Probably not publicly, but perhaps, the Adrian Wojnarowskis and the Shams of the world will get a little bit of information and find out where the NBA is leaning in terms of arena safety and things of that nature. So that's the big story of the day. There's not really much else to say about it. We don't really know much else. Obviously, it's a concerning situation for everybody, but we'll see where the NBA goes with this, and also the other sports leagues. So definitely something that we'll be keeping an eye on. here at Locked On Wolves, and we'll talk about any significant news when it comes to that. All right, shifting back to basketball talk. The Wolves announced over the weekend that Karl Anthony Towns is going to be out for another couple of weeks. Remember, it was roughly 2 weeks ago that the Wolves said they would reevaluate Towns in 2 weeks. Right at about the two-week mark, the Timberwolves came back out with another media advisory that said that the injury will be reevaluated again in 2 weeks. So give it another 2 weeks to heal. They're not doing surgery, which I think we basically knew, but it doesn't look like they'll be doing surgery at all. And here's hoping. I mean, 2 weeks, that's going to leave roughly a month left in the season, a little less than that for the Wolves. So obviously there's no reason to push Towns' injury, and he shouldn't play if there's any risk of re-injury at all. But if it's a healed fracture, then he should play, and he should get the opportunity to play with D'Angelo Russell. The Wolves should get a better idea for what they have, move Naz Reid to more of a backup role, see what he looks like next to Towns in some stints. We talked about that a few episodes ago on this podcast, how he actually played pretty well next to Towns in very limited run. But I'd be curious to see what he looks like, next to Towns. The Wolves have a big decision to make on Juancho Hernan Gomez this summer related to his restricted free agency. It'd be nice to know what Naz looks like as a guy who's got a low cost, partially guaranteed contract for the next couple of years. Is he merely a backup center that can replicate some of the things that Towns does in terms of shooting from deep and having some passing touch and things like that? Or could he be a fit next to Towns in stretches? And the Wolves really need to see him play with Towns. They need to see D'Lo play with Towns. They need to see Malik Beasley play with Towns. But all that to say, if Towns is at all at risk of re-injury at any point, then he should not return to the court. I tend to think he will get back on the court for a couple of weeks. It sounds like he really wants to, and obviously the players would like him to as well. It'd be good to end the season on a somewhat positive note. You know, healthy, having the stars play together, hopefully win a few games down the stretch in April, and that's what we have to look forward to. The other Wolves note I wanted to mention is actually related to Naz Reid. John Krasinski at The Athletic, who does a great job, did a feature piece on Naz Reid, had a bunch of quotes from Timberwolves teammates about how much they like Naz Reid and how effective they think he could be as an NBA big man. Had quotes from James Johnson, Josh Okogie, guys that really seem to think a lot of what Reid can do. And also that the Wolves, obviously as a team, you know, he went from a guy who was on the summer league team. They offered him a two-way contract in the summer. He continued to impress, and all within the span of a couple of weeks, he went from a two-way contract to a partially guaranteed deal over a multi-year contract. I think it was a three-year deal. And then Naz went to the G League, was dominant in the G League, 19 points, 10 rebounds a game, 3 assists a game, and 16 contests in Iowa, and has only been, you know, continuing to get better. We've talked a lot on this podcast. He's gotten a lot of our quote-unquote duds awards as one of the worst players on the floor over the last few weeks for the Wolves at times, but he's also had a couple of really impressive games. He had those back-to-back games against New Orleans and Chicago that the Wolves won last week. Well, he was really good, and then both times they played Orlando, he struggled. He hasn't gotten enough rebounds. We called out his defense a couple of times, and this article focuses on how difficult the transition to playing defense in the NBA and also in the Timberwolves defensive system can be for a guy who's undrafted, who played 1 year at LSU, and certainly has a lot of physical gifts, but hasn't had the opportunity to play in a pro-style offense or defense very much at all. So a good article, and gives some insight into just how much talent the Wolves believe that Naz Reid has and what he could end up being for this team. So if you do have an Athletic subscription, head on over and read John Krasinski's piece on Naz Reid. It is a really good read, and kind of echoes what I feel about Naz Reid in terms of his upside, and part of the reason why I'm so curious to see what he could look like at the four next to Towns for some stretches as well. All right, next up, we are going to talk Wolves-Rockets. The Wolves play Houston on Tuesday night, so we'll preview that matchup before we get into some draft talk. All right, let's talk Wolves-Rockets. This is the fourth time and the final time that these two teams are matching up this year. The Wolves have lost each of the first three matchups, and it hasn't really been close. They lost the first game by 20, the second game by 30. The third game, they lost by 7. And that was on January 24th. So it was still about a month, a little over a month and a half ago. So these teams looked very different at that time. Of course, Robert Covington was on the Timberwolves and not on the Rockets. That game, Towns had 30 and 12. Andrew Wiggins had 28 points on just 19 shots, had a pretty good game. Josh Okogie had 17 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals. He always seems to play pretty well against the Rockets when he's able to get on the floor. Covington only had 10 points, 7 rebounds, shot 4 of 13 from the floor. The Wolves bench in that game, full of guys that aren't on this team anymore. Kade Bates-Diop, Gorgui Jang, Alan Crabb, all not on the team. Jordan McLaughlin, Jarrett Culver did come off the bench. And then Okogie would be the only starter that played in that game that will play in this game. So three of the 10 players that played last time these two teams matched up will be on the court for the Wolves. And believe it or not, in the six-ish weeks that have followed then, the Timberwolves only have four wins. And in the meantime, have gone, what? I lost the record here, but they've gone 4-14 since the last time these two teams played. So not great. On the other hand, Houston has really struggled lately. They've actually lost four games in a row, and the bottom's kind of fallen out. They barely won on the road in overtime the other night. That was at Boston a little over a week ago, about a week ago. Since then, they've lost four straight to the Knicks, at the Knicks, at home against the Clippers, at the Hornets, at home against the Magic. So only one playoff team, only one for sure playoff team in there, and only one team above 500 in the Clippers. And the Knicks game, they only lost by a bucket, but the Clippers game, they lost by 15, they lost by 9 to the Hornets, and then at home by 20 to the Orlando Magic, who of course are a playoff team and just beat the Wolves twice in the span of a week. But they're a likely playoff team, but they are below 500 by a few games, and in the Eastern Conference, no less. So definitely a concerning stretch for the Rockets. And really, it's mostly their offense. They aren't shooting the ball well. In fact, they had scored, it had been over a month since the Rockets had scored under 106 points in a game. It was like February 5th or 6th, the last time that they did that. They've now done that for three consecutive games. They scored 105 against the Clippers, 99 against the Hornets, and then 106 against the Magic. And a complete scoring outage for the Rockets. Obviously, with the way that they operate their offense, a lot of that has to do with their three-point shooting. They did shoot just under 36%, excuse me, from the three-point line in New York, which for them is actually a little bit above their season average and in terms of shooting percentage from beyond the arc. So that wasn't horrible. They only lost that game by two. Then the next night against the Clippers at home, they went 7 of 42 from beyond the arc. That's 16.7%. The following night, 33% against Charlotte, 9 of 32, and then 28.1% against Orlando. And we've actually seen the number of three-point attempts go down a little bit per game over the past week for the Rockets. Mike D'Antoni had some comments in the media about how they've been passing up open threes, which of course is the opposite of how the Rockets want to play. And if they're only shooting 33s a game and making somewhere between, you know, 25 and 35% of them, they're not going to win. Their whole offense is predicated on shooting the three. We all already knew this, but they are first in the league in three-point attempts per game at 44 threes per game. They're only 23rd in percentage, 34.8%. So if they're not shooting threes and they're not making threes, they're going to be in trouble. They're still the league's second best offense in terms of offensive rating and 15th in defense. They're a decent defensive team, although their look has changed quite a bit since trading Clint Capella and bringing in Robert Covington. In terms of three-point percentage, they only have a couple guys that are really over league average. Robert Covington, since he's been there, is shooting 36%. Daniel House is 36%. PJ Tucker is almost 37%. Ben McLemore, 39%. Everybody else is kind of hovering around league average. James Harden's 35% on just under 13 attempts per game. So they've got a bunch of guys who just are high-volume three-point shooters and league average or slightly above, which is very different than, like, for instance, the Wolves earlier this year were you know, top three in attempting threes, bottom three in percentage. And since the trade deadline, the Wolves are much better in that category. Although guys like Malik Beasley and Juancho Hernan Gomez have slowed down quite a bit recently. In terms of injuries for this game, there is a chance that the Rockets are a little shorthanded. They're going to, Eric Gordon is day to day with a knee injury and Ben McLemore is day to day with an illness. So we'll see if they're able to suit up. Obviously the Rockets have former Timberwolf Robert Covington. And so he looks like he'll be available for this game, as well as, you know, the stars, James Harden, Russell Westbrook. The Timberwolves, of course, will be without Karl Anthony Towns. Once again, as we talked about earlier in the show, he's out for at least another week and a half to 2 weeks here. And so it will be a very different look for the Wolves as they take on the Rockets for the last time of the season. No doubt Houston is looking at Minnesota as a team that perhaps can get them back on track with a relatively easy win. And if the Wolves play like they did over the weekend and they're lost to Orlando on Friday and then their Sunday afternoon loss on Sunday to New Orleans, then they are going to get beat and beat handily. So they'll just need to compete. They'll need to hope that the Rockets are still a little bit a little bit tentative to shoot threes. And hopefully the Wolves can play hard and make this a contest. You don't want to start off a six-game road trip, the longest road trip of the season, with a flat performance. So we'll see how the Wolves come out on Tuesday night. And of course, we'll talk all about this game, recap it, talk about high points, low points, studs and duds individually as well on Wednesday morning's episode. So be sure to tune into that. All right, next up, we are going to talk NBA draft. We have a special segment we're going to play for you all that included a couple of guys who know what they're talking about when it comes to the draft as well. And that will kind of kick off our draft coverage here at Locked On Wolves that, of course, will now extend for the next roughly 3 months here and certainly pick up during March Madness and then following the season as well. First, just a quick note on local advertising here. If you've been a listener of this podcast, I'm sure you've heard all the great advertisers working with Locked On to reach sports fans. But you may not know that Locked On Wolves is a great way for your local business to reach passionate Minnesota Timberwolves fans just like you. Unlike any other podcast, Locked On gives your local company the unique ability to reach local podcast listeners, and not just any podcast listener, a Locked On podcast listener. If your company wants to connect with Timberwolves fans in a predominantly male audience that is well-educated with disposable income, then let's put your company right here on this Locked On podcast. Local fans love to support local businesses. Text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising and let us know who you are. We'll get our team to help your team achieve Locked On advertising success. Once again, text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising. We look forward to hearing from you. All right, as mentioned, I wanted to finish out today's episode by kicking off our NBA draft coverage here at Locked On Wolves. The NBA Locked On hosts around the network got together to do somewhat of a poll looking at the top 14, really the lottery, the potential lottery picks in the upcoming draft. So really the top 14, and then there's also a we'll have this later on the Twitter account at Locked On T-Wolves later today, but also the three players on the bubble kind of right outside the lottery based on our polling. So I wanted to include a segment from that was hosted by Doug Branson, who hosts Locked On Hornets and is also at the Locked On Podcast Network. He had Adam Stanko from Ejecting the Screen on his show and talked about the results of this power poll, if you will, this draft board that the NBA Locked On hosts put together. So to talk about Adam's reaction to that big board. So I wanted to play that segment for you all. And then again, we're going to start talking a lot more in depth about some of these prospects and start featuring individual prospects here and there over the next week or so. So without further ado, here is Doug and Adam Stanko from Ejecting the Screen.
I'm Doug Branson, host of the Locked On Hornets podcast. I'm joined by resident NBA draft expert and host of the wildly popular NBA podcast, Ejecting the Screen, Adam Stanko. Hi, Adam.
How you doing, Doug?
I'm good. Always love to talk NBA draft.
Always.
It's week one of the Locked On NBA draft lottery big board that we've put here, put together here for Locked On NBA. We've polled the entire Locked On NBA network on who they believe the top 14 prospects are in the NBA draft. Here is the Locked On NBA 2020 NBA draft big board. We'll start with number 14, Jaden McDaniels, coming in at 13, RJ Hampton, 12, Tyrese Maxey out of Kentucky, 11, Nico Mannion, 10, Isaac Okoro, 9, Tyrese Halliburton, 8, Cole Anthony out of North Carolina, 7, Onyeka Okongwu, 6, Obi Toppin, he is impressing everyone right now, 5, Killian Hayes, 4, Denny Avdija, 3, LaMelo Ball, 2, James Wiseman, and finally, the number one prospect, according to the Locked On NBA Network, is Anthony Edwards. Adam, what do you think of week one of this NBA draft lottery big board?
Well, most notably to me, off the top, it's youth movement. You look at Anthony Edwards, James Wiseman, LaMelo Ball, all 18 years old. Denny Avdija is 19, and it's teenagers in the top five, with Killian Hayes there rounding out the top five. I love Obi Toppin, and at number six, I think he is moving up, even though he's 22, so stark difference from the other five. Most of the guys are locked youth movement at the top, and I think Obi Toppin has the most room for moving up.
What's the one player name that you are paying special attention to right now, maybe in terms of where they're moving up and down or just their prospects in the NBA in general?
I would say Nico Mannion is one of the more fascinating prospects in this draft because he has explosion, quickness, excellent finisher over bigs. He's got a mid-range floater game, and he also has really good vision. The issue with Nico Mannion has been his productivity sort of dropped off in the second half of the season, and his shooting really, really took a hit. And that's in large part because of his shot selection. A lot of off the dribble threes. Even though he needs some work, Nico Mannion, I still think, has room for growth and can really impress when he gets into NBA team workouts.
Adam, we also have three players on the bubble. These players did not quite make the top 14, according to our Locked On NBA host. Alexei Pokusevsky, Devin Vassell, and Josh Green. Of those three players, which one of those would you say, well, I think they got it wrong. This player deserves to be in the top 14.
Well, I think Devin Vassell is an interesting one at Florida State. I mean, he's 6'6 guard, has just a ton of potential. We see the explosiveness. He's a guy who didn't start at all for Florida State last year, played 33 games, but didn't have a single start. So already you don't know what to expect coming into year two, although they were excited about him. And we haven't seen the crazy scoring numbers because there's balance on this Florida State team. But the ability to defend multiple positions is obviously huge. The athleticism, he's a guy that I think NBA scouts are looking at now as a guy who has serious potential that, you know, potential obviously rules a lot more over productivity, especially when you're playing with a balanced attack and FSU has had the season that they've had. What he can do defensively and his athletic ability, I think he's ripe to be a candidate to move potentially into the lottery.
I'm Doug Branson. He is Adam Stanko. Make sure that you are subscribed to the Rejecting the Screen podcast with Adam and his co-host Noah Kozlov. Adam, what do you have coming up this week?
Well, for our Tuesday episode, which is just Noah and I, we talked about the MVP race and went in depth about LeBron and Giannis, compared the numbers, but also took a look at what people are using to evaluate MVPs. And then for our Thursday episode this week, we interviewed Ryan Hollins. Great discussion, not just about his time at UCLA, which was quite memorable, playing for Ben Howland, but also bouncing around the NBA and dealing with some of the locker rooms and personalities and really fascinating stories, whether it was Donald Sterling, some insight about Rajon Rondo, Chris Paul, a lot of interesting nuggets from Ryan Hollins, and of course, some of the stuff that he does in his new role as a media personality. So a lot of fun on Thursday with Ryan Hollins.
Ryan Hollins was my LA Clippers secret weapon in NBA 2K many years ago. So I will definitely be tuning into that. He has a special place in my heart. We'll be updating this poll throughout the lead up to the NBA draft. Make sure you're following Locked On NBA on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram for all of the updates on this and more. The NBA draft is only 16 weeks away.
All right, my thanks to Doug Branson and Adam Stanko for recording that bit to discuss the big board. Adam's expertise is awesome to hear. We're actually going to have some plans to have some other experts on Locked On Wolves and the Locked On Network as a whole over the next few weeks here. And again, there's going to be plenty to talk about regarding the draft. And, you know, the Wolves at the moment, as we sit here today before the game against the Rockets, the Wolves are 19-44. They are basically in a virtual tie with Cleveland and Atlanta for the number two spot. They're one loss behind Cleveland, a half game behind Cleveland, if you will, for the second spot in the lottery, and in a virtual tie with Atlanta. Atlanta's played three more games and they've won one and lost two in their three more games. So those three teams are jockeying for position in the 2-4 range. So we will see how that shakes out. We'll obviously keep an eye on that. At this point, the website tankathon.com says that the Wolves have a 52.1% of landing a top four pick, a 14% chance of winning the number one overall pick. And at this point, given the way that the new-ish lottery system works, that's tied with Golden State and Cleveland. So if you're in the top three, you have that 14% chance at the top pick. And then if you're fourth, you have a 12.5% chance. So we'll keep an eye on how things are shaking out as we come down the stretch of the season, and definitely talk about prospects individually as well as we move forward. All right, that's all we have for you today here at Locked On Wolves. Thanks once again for listening to the podcast. Locked On Wolves is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. That's going to wrap up this edition of Locked On Wolves. Now, tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On NBA. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.